Good morning. You've tuned in to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. It's Thursday, July 28th. My name is Jack Peterson, and I'm here with Jim Healy. We are your co-hosts and co-pilots here on this early morning hot flight to Phoenix, Albuquerque, San Diego, and, you know, points south. We are in the middle of a bit of a heat wave here, Jim.
Yes, we are. But right now is not as hot as it's going to get.
Yes.
As the day progresses.
Yes. I feel like at this time last week, we were complimenting each other on how nice and smart we were for living here, where it's so much cooler than it is elsewhere in the country. And
I neener, and my relatives and friends living elsewhere, and boy, did this come back and bite me in the butt.
Yes.
And I guess this is going to last until, I think, next Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. There is an excessive heat warning that is currently in effect until July 30th, which is Saturday night, but I would not be surprised if they... the National Weather Service
extends
that. I will give the forecast right now. The high,
give it, buddy.
Currently 70 degrees in Sandpoint.
70. Oh, it went up like 6 degrees since I did it during Democracy Now.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so unfair.
Yeah. Well, it could be that they just updated it or something. I don't know if it's to the minute, but. At 7:35 a.m., I guess, is the last update, and it was 70 degrees at the airport. The high today is 97, and the forecast is just hot. Sunny and hot, not much wind, about 6 miles an hour coming up in the afternoon. A 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight after 11 p.m., which could cool us down if it actually hits. Slight chance of thunderstorms tomorrow morning, and then sunny, a high of 98 degrees on Friday. Yeah. Clear on Friday night with a low down to 62. So that's
we'll take
that's
that.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'll live with that.
On Saturday, a high of 97 degrees, and again, hot. Clear on Saturday night, low down to 62. Sunday, high of 98. The current forecast calls for Monday to cool down a little bit, coming down to a high near 90.
Oh, beating degrees. Heartbeat still.
And then actually a
Tuesday,
low.
Tuesday.
Finally, back into the 80s. Mostly sunny with a high near 85 is the current forecast for Tuesday. So everybody just hang on and we'll get back to the 80s, which is not what I would call cool, but okay.
Depends which way you come at 80s from.
That's right.
You know, that it can be seen as cool. I don't know about you, Jack, but I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but I sure don't like this hot weather because, you know, in the winter months, if you're cold, you can always throw in another sweater, throw on another sweatshirt, wrap yourself in a blanket and get nice and toasty. But when it's like this, you can only take off so much clothes, and then we can turn to our guest, Sandy Ross, who is here to talk about the Longbridge Swim and the swim instructions that the Longbridge Swim finances. So if one is really hot, what do you suggest, Sandy?
Well, you take advantage of our beautiful lake and jump in. It's the temperature right now is just fabulous, and we hope it's going to be just like that for Longbridge Swim Day.
Well, Sandy, welcome to 88.5 KRFY. And first of all, let's get the nitty-gritty out of the way. When is the Longbridge Swim this year? I think it's the 27th annual.
Could be. It's always the first Saturday of August, which I believe is the 6th this month or this year. And the 6th
next
of August.
Month, next month.
Yeah, which is almost as late as it can be. And we're delighted to welcome to our community myself, I'll be swimming, as well as well over 500 other like souls. We mass at the Sandpoint High School. We jump on buses after a very informative and clear safety meeting. Then we zoom out to the Long Bridge Swim from the south end of the bridge. And then, depending on how fast you are, about an hour and a half later, you're ready for some breakfast because you've swum 1.76 miles in our beautiful lake.
That's terrific. And where does one register for this incredible event?
You can register online up until the day before the swim. You cannot register on swim day. And then you can pick up your packet, which is a swim hat, which you must wear, of course, and some other delightful swag from local businesses at Sandpoint High School on Friday, I believe, from 4 to 7 in the evening, which is a great thing to do. You get your chip then, which helps you, which is a great improvement over our past swims, because then you cross the mat whenever you're ready, and when you get out, you have your time.
What do you do with your chip when you swim?
The magic of technology.
Yeah.
Of course, it's waterproof, and you Velcro it to your ankle, and it doesn't come off, and off you swim. And then someone helps you take it off after you cross over the mat, and you have your result almost instantly.
So, Sandy, you're in the water. You're doing this long distance miles.
1.76, you to know.
1.76, not 1.75 or 1.77. What strokes do you do?
I'm a crawl stroker or freestyler, and I open water swim a lot. And I don't necessarily train, but I do swim very regularly, about a mile every day. I do a little longer when I'm getting ready to do Long Bridge Swim. But you could do any stroke you'd like, as long as you can keep yourself afloat, which brings me right over to safety. The Long Bridge Swim is one of the safest swims you can imagine. It's almost tip-to-tail kayaks the entire way on the outside. And, of course, you're bordered by the Long Bridge on the left side as you're swimming down the lake. And so it's a really great swim for people who have never tried that kind of a distance, or perhaps this is their first open water swim. It's a great swim to get going on open water here in the Pacific Northwest.
Is there a big difference between open water swimming and pool swimming, do you find?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's a great joy that we have so many beautiful, clean places to swim open water. It's really lovely. And the Long Bridge Swim is one of the best because you can always see the bridge on your left, and it's relatively sheltered. We almost always have good water, except, of course, for the 1 year that it was canceled due to very, very high extended winds.
Strong winds, right.
But that's pretty rare. And again, the safety is taken very, very seriously by the Long Bridge Swim group, and they spend a lot of time getting the kayakers oriented, and it's just really great.
Do you say you can start at any time? When do you like to start?
Well,
do you try to be like the first one in the water, or you like to be towards the end? Or?
Absolutely not. There are some people that take the race really seriously and are swimming for time. It is a sanctioned event, I believe, so you can turn it into certain organizations, open water swim organizations. And the joke is, you don't want to get pushed down. Don't start in the front. So it's pretty easy to sort of self-select. And I always start in the middle of the pack and generally finish in the middle of the pack.
I just want to say one of the differences between, for me, open swimming in the lake and the pool is I can see the bottom of the pool. But I live in a world where, you know, they just had Jaws at the Panada Theater. And if I can't see down there, I think that there's something down there bigger than me, boom, 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 and that sort of makes me a little bit on edge. Are either of you like that, or is it this just me?
Well, I'd like to point out the Pondere paddler is very shy and really doesn't come around the commotion of Long Bridge Swim. Second of all, I'd like to point out that Lake Pondere is freshwater, so there are no sharks. And sturgeon.
I never thought of that.
Yeah, and cool. Sturgeon are quite rare also. I'd also like to point out to you that you really only swim in the top 2 feet of water anyway. So what does it matter what's below that 2 feet?
They can get a lot of speed heading upward and then break that top 2 feet of water. I don't know. Jack?
I would say I am the same way, but if I think I could do the Longbridge swim because you're surrounded by other people and the kayaks and stuff.
Sort of like when you're hiking in grizzly bear country. You just don't be the slowest.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
That's right.
But get someone else.
Yeah. I do not like to jump off a boat in like the middle of the lake. I mean, I do it, but it always takes a little working up to.
Yeah, you know? Just Well, let's talk about your real skill set, Sandy, and that is, well, let me back up. Where does some of the money go to that people put down for registration fees?
From the beginning, as soon as there was enough money to spend, the board decided that they wanted to give back to the community. And the way they've done it is to provide swim lessons for any third grade in Lake Pend'Oreille School District or other organized group that would like them. And so through Susie Miller and a whole posse of people, we managed to be able to give 3 swim lessons to lots and lots and lots of third graders throughout the year. And it's a really joyous thing to do. The children make astonishing progress in just
3
lessons. And we spend quite a bit of time emphasizing water safety. So they have an opportunity to remember that they're probably going to swim in an unguarded area here in Lake Pend'Oreille or in the state of Idaho. There's so much water to get into, but it's not always organized water where there's a swimming area. So we ask the children to think a little bit about that. And, you know, third graders have such open hearts. We have to remind them that while they may know someone that's in trouble, they need to take care of themselves first. We teach them throwing rescues, reaching rescues, and we say to them, reach, throw, never go, so that don't overextend their abilities. We also talk a little bit about swimming with the ability of their partner. So sometimes there's a pretty dramatic difference in how kids swim. And so we always encourage them to play to the ability of the lowest swimmer. So they're all playing together in the water, but no one's getting out over their head or worrying about sharks.
that's a concern. Where do the instructions take place?
We have a great partner with the Lighthouse YMCA pool. And we also partner with Pend'Oreille Shores Pool. So in Hope, Idaho, so that we can serve Northside a little bit better, as well as Hope School comes in quite regularly. And so with those partnerships, we're able to serve as many children in that third grade level as possible. Since we're talking about service, the Longbridge Swim lessons have plans to extend out to other parts of Bonner County next year. During the summer, perhaps next year, we're going to try to teach lessons at the Mud Hole up in Priest River, as well as just about any place that we can get into some water and get some kids together.
You guys are probably playing catch up this time or this year from the last couple of years, school not being in session.
Yeah, we sure missed it when we had to not be in session with COVID. It was, we missed it. All of us did. And so because of that, we also picked up some fourth grades, because those were kids that wouldn't have participated. We also are extending our classes over to the middle school and the high school in terms of PE. And we have, especially at the middle school, 2 great instructors there, Ms. Sparks and Mr. Crosby, that take the time to bring their kids over to the pool and, you know, remind middle schoolers, you know, you need your swimsuit, all of those things. we find that the middle schoolers forget their suits more often than the third graders do.
Why do you think that is?
Middle schoolers have a lot going on, you know.
Oh, there's more on their plate.
That's right. And so we have lots of opportunities because teachers take the time to fit us into their schedule. We have lots of opportunities to reach kids.
Is part of the PE curriculum in the middle school? Is there a, is that what you mentioned
sure.
there? Yeah.
Sure, sure. It comes as a unit of water safety, I assume.
Yeah.
And they come over I think they come for three lessons. I haven't, surprisingly, even though I was a middle school teacher, that's a particular class I haven't been able to work with yet, but I'm looking forward to it maybe next year.
Oh, okay.
When you begin with, let's say, third graders, do you begin with the dog paddle?
Well, we give them a quick test, and it's astonishing how quickly you can get the kids squared away and into groups according to their ability. So, you know, we have at most 28 to 30 kids, and we generally carry about 5 instructors. And so we ask them to do a couple little things. We ask them to slip in the water, and believe it or not, right then and there, we can tell very quickly which kids are going to be able to go into deeper water, because some kids, when they slip in the water, will immediately go under the water and blow some bubbles and get their head full wet. Other kids, not so much. And so that's our first sorting. Then we ask them to do a face float and some kicking. And generally, by then, we are able to group them up and get going on some targeted instruction based on their needs.
Now, what age is a third grader? It's been such a long time since I've been in third grade.
I don't know.
About what?
10?
10?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think okay. That's about right.
About 10? Right? Do you feel that one should begin getting children accustomed to water, especially since living around a big lake, at an earlier age?
Well, it's all about what families can do together, you know, and going for a day at the lake is, you know, one of the least expensive and most generic things that we can do here in Bonner County. But sure, the sooner you can get a kid swimming, the better, but it doesn't necessarily have to be formal instruction. But we do know that children of parents that don't swim tend to not swim. So we want to make sure that we give an opportunity to sort of break that cycle by having a more formal swim lesson opportunity. Third grade just seems to be a magic time. They are open to suggestions. They're ready for adventure. They're interested in exploring their world above the water and below the water. They're coordinated enough to be able to do some of the complex actions and strokes that are necessary. And most of all, they have the ability to hold their breath and expel it when they wish. So because of those reasons, third grade is a perfect time to begin to learn to swim.
Cool. I know, Jack, you're a recent parent.
I am.
Are you going to encourage James to, you know, like the cover of Nirvana's Nevermind,
uh-huh.
you know, that album?
I wish we had done, you've heard the thing where babies like know how to swim. Infants know how to swim right away and they basically forget it. Like you can put an infant, a newborn, into water and it will more or less know how to swim. At least that's what I've heard.
The natural actions of a child are very similar.
Yeah, that's what, right. And we didn't do like right from birth, but he loves the water.
Sure.
And he's in it, now that it's hot, basically every day is a trip to the lake. And we have those, it's not just water wings anymore. It's water wings plus like a belt kind of thing. It's all built as one thing. But he's all about it. He's a year and a half old and already pretty, certainly can't swim, but like, you know, very comfortable in the water, I would say.
Yeah, that's an, you know, in old school, we call that water adjustment or water acclimation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best thing you can do for your kid. The idea that they approach the water with joy and happiness because they have fun with their families is really all that you need. Then they just transfer that over to the pool for a little while and then back out to the open water when we swim in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And good for you for being a devoted parent.
Hey, thanks.
Sandy, how did you learn to swim?
Honestly, I can't remember not knowing how to swim. But my mom was part of a movement in the 50s to start swim instructors. So my mom became a WSI as a opportunity for her to earn some money on the side for our family. And of course, I had to go too. So I just took lessons, and sometimes I was the demonstrator for her class. And then of course, I joined swim team, my county league swim team, and was able to do that for a while. And then when I went to high school, my auntie was part of a developmentally disabled program of recreation in King County in Washington. So I learned to work with developmentally delayed of kids of all different kinds through swim lessons through her programs. And then it was sort of dormant for a little while in college and also during my working career, because it does take a little bit of time. But I always managed to find a Saturday or Sunday to swim with somebody in our community. And Pendere Shores was very kind to open their doors to me because I lived in Hope. And they didn't mind if I made arrangements for some people to come swimming. They loved it. And then now that I've retired, I'm able to go back to it a little more full time. So swimming's been a part of my life for my entire life,
right? How about you, Jack? Are you a swimmer?
A lifelong swimmer, yeah. I do vaguely remember, well, I think one of my first memories is probably swim lessons, mm-hmm. which I must have been, I don't know, 3 or 4 or something like that. Really, right. Really wow. Young at the YMCA. Right. Yeah, and then, but yeah, lifelong swimmer. I was on the swim team.
You grew up in Minnesota, the land of, what, 10,000 lakes?
That's right.
So, you know, duh, you're either that or hockey.
Yep, you are correct. And I was not much of a skater, so I was on the swim team. I've always done it, and it's always been my, really the only method I have for beating the heat. I do not like hot weather at all, so I get to the water. Pretty much that's my only technique. I don't know what else to do.
Totally agree with you. You're listening to The Morning Show with Jack and Jim, and our guest this morning, Sandy Ross, and we're talking about the Long Bridge Swim, which is going to take place on August 6th. Let's take a break, and then we'll regroup after the song and talk more about swimming and the importance of it. We're going to go with the swimming song, Kate and Anna McGarrigle. This is a Loudon Wainwright III composition, but I love the McGarrigle sisters, their version of it, coming from their 1976 album, their debut album of the same name. Here's the swimming song. That was Kate and Anna McGarrigle and the McGarrigle sisters with the swimming song. We're here with Sandy Ross, and we're making water talk. And while the McGarrigle sisters were playing, we thought we'd talk more about the flotation devices, fins, things like that, watching it from the bridge. You run with it, Sandy.
Well, the Long Bridge Swim in Sandpoint that's going to be on August 6th is a really, really unusual and amazing open water swim because spectators can watch you. Believe it or not, I've swum in the swim dozens of times, really quite a few times, and I'm actually able to spot my husband walking along the bridge. Now, it's true, he is wearing a big hat.
I was going to say, does he have flares and like...
Surprisingly, it's just astonishing. But yeah, you can look up and find someone, and vice versa, they can find you.
What do you wear? Or do you have a bathing cap on, an Esther Williams bathing cap or something that you're identifiable?
Well, you have to wear the Long Bridge Assigned swim cap. It is a rule. And if it pops off or comes off, you have to try to get it back on. And you can swim over to a kayak and do that. So one of the first things we always suggest for new swimmers is learn to swim with a hat. Sometimes, especially men, they're not really interested in wearing a swim hat.
What's behind wearing a hat? What's the purpose of that? Identification?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yeah, helps keep track of you.
Okay.
So someone who's watching you might be able to notice you by, you know, what your hat number. And most of the time, people are wearing a wetsuit that might help you be identified. Wetsuits are optional on the Longbridge Swim. Some people wear them. I'm about 50-50. Sometimes I wear it and sometimes I don't. It can be really surprisingly hot.
What's the difference between swimming with a wetsuit and swimming with not a wetsuit?
The wetsuits keep you warmer, for sure.
Okay.
And they also add a bit of buoyancy. So those lean, mean sharks that are out in the front, they might like that extra bit of buoyancy. But someone like me, probably not so much.
Okay.
But it also can streamline your body to make you go through the water more shark-like. goggles are also very helpful so that you can see, but there's lots of people, that swim what's called hillbilly. So quite a few years ago now, the, Longbridge Swim was the U.S. Masters National Open Water Swim Championship, which was quite an event. And I believe that's our biggest event at about 800 swimmers. And I was visiting with a man and he said, "Oh, I'm just going hillbilly." And of course I lifted my eyebrow about that. And he says, "That means I'm just going to swim in my swimsuit without a wetsuit." So now you know an open water swimming term, which is hillbilly.
Okay.
So if you're going hillbilly, that's just your swimsuit.
So you said you sometimes go with and sometimes go without. What determines that, Sandy?
For me, it's the outside temperature. If it's a really, really hot day, I'll be warm enough. If it's a cooler day.
Interesting.
For me, but everybody's a little bit different. There's plenty of great Longbridge swimmers that wouldn't even imagine getting in the water without their wetsuit. And there's just as many devoted swimmers that would never wear a wetsuit. So kind of personal preference.
Yeah. When do you get in the water for the first time in the year?
This year,
yeah.
I got in very early because I got talked into the water leg of the Coeur d'Alene Ironman half. So I got in really early in June, and the water was between 57 and 59 degrees.
Yeah.
And it was very cold. Not an experience I will repeat soon.
So in other words, the wetsuit didn't help you. I mean, it helps, but...
Oh, it was essential. I couldn't have even gotten in at all without the wetsuit.
Yeah.
But still, it was...
It was required. The wetsuit was required for the Ironman swim.
It was still chilly.
At that point. But
yeah.
I don't want to talk about Ironman swims.
Okay, let's not talk... Yeah.
Because the Longbridge Swim is so different. And yeah. One of the things that is really, really cool about Longbridge Swim is so much of what the board does is giving back to the community. Ironmans are not quite like that. They do give back to the community, but they're a big worldwide organization.
Right.
The Longbridge Swim is local, and so the money goes locally, and it's just so great that they've devoted their monies to a great deal of their monies to making sure that we provide swim lessons for our children here in Bonner County.
I cannot think of a better way when you think in terms of how important the lake is. And practically everybody ends up in the water, that skill, and it's a lifelong skill.
Absolutely. I think of sometimes of the joy I have when I swim, and, you know, I swim a lot in the lake, and it's so joyous. Sometimes you see a osprey flying above, and sometimes you do see some fish. It's true.
Big ones.
Yeah, whoa. Those lunkers laying on the bottom, you know. And it's... Sometimes you hear children laughing and playing, families are together, dogs are barking. It's just a great experience. And so when I feel that, I think, well, why wouldn't I want every child to have this experience? Of course, that's the kind of joy that you want people to have for their whole lives, and it starts as a child. So That is really motivating for me to help children learn to swim, because then they can have that delight too.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. I mean, I learned to swim like Jack at the YMCA, and then I went on to be a Boy Scout and got my swimming merit badge.
Oh,
and my
nice work.
Life-saving merit badge.
Good for you.
And
so you know about reach, throw, never go.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, save myself first.
Yeah? That's no kidding. Third graders, we can't quite talk that bluntly about how, we talk more about how you help someone versus, you know, because that's their first instinct, is to want to help.
And I can remember going up to Lake Michigan and with my mom and aunt and with my sisters and brother. But it's not that we would swim, but we'd be in the water and bob up and down with the waves. And sometimes you'd go under. But it wouldn't be necessarily swim.
That's true.
You know, it's just simply feeling comfortable in the water, feeling good in that environment.
That's right. It's all about the sun and the waves and the beautiful, clean water and your family around, or your friends if you're just going to the beach with some friends. I don't know. Were you guys able to, like, hop on your bikes and ride to the beach? Did you master where does the towel go when you're on a bike?
I went to Pottawamonee Park, and that had a swimming pool as well as a diving pool.
Yeah,
and that was quite. That's where I'd pedal my bike during the summer back in South Bend, Indiana. How about you, Jack?
I don't think we were close. I think we were always driving to the Edina pool. We weren't quite close enough to either walk or ride.
How about water? A body of water.
A body of water was for us. It was my grandparents' cabin on Partridge Lake in Minnesota, and then it's just a run down the dock to dive in.
How about you, Sandy? Where did you? What body of water or pool?
I learned to swim in Lake Washington in the Bellevue Redmond Kirkland area, a place called Juanita Beach. I also swam at a little lake called Pine Lake because that warmed up the soonest. And then I swam in county pools in King County. And then I came here. And there's just nothing quite like Lake Pend'Oreille. It's just magnificent.
I think
beautiful.
I have to be honest with you, too, that I grew up in the Midwest where water was user-friendly. And I find the Lake Pend'Oreille to be cold. I know. Too bad the listeners cannot see the look I'm getting from Sandy, that I'm just withering away now. It's just too cold for me, and I know why. So I've been here like 23 years about, and I think you can count on one hand the number of times I've been in the lake.
Oh, I'm so sorry for you.
I know. I wish I were better skilled. People tell me, oh, it's only the first 6 to 8 feet. It's warm. But if you go below that, no, it's all cold.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, then my suggestion is head down to Sandpoint City Beach and hang out at the beach and just feel the vibe there. And pretty soon you'll realize that swimming in open water isn't always about getting in the water sometimes. It's just being just next to the lake.
Good point. Just simply enjoying being around water and listening to the sounds of people in the water and having a ball. How was the water in Minnesota, Jack?
Much warmer, I would say, other than Lake Superior, which is much colder.
But, Lake Superior is in a category by itself.
Yeah, it is a noticeable difference. When I'm going to go back there in a couple weeks now, actually, and I expect it's actually shocking how warm it is that first time you jump in. Going back, it's like, oh, this is like nothing. This is like air temperature practically. I mean, it can be up to like 80 degrees in a lake, which is crazy. But
of water.
I know. I noticed that Lake Pend'Oreille, the temperature will vary depending on where you are in the lake.
It certainly will.
Yeah.
It certainly will. There's places that seem to always be cold, and then there's places that are warming up quite nicely, including the south side.
Mm-hmm.
Of City Beach, as well as I swim quite a bit in Dover Bay, as well as I swim quite a bit in at Ponderay Shores and off of Hope quite a bit.
How is Dover Bay? Is that warmer?
Yes, it's real warm.
I was going to say it would be different than swimming in the lake.
Oh, as far as there's no current there or anything like that.
It's still.
Yeah, okay. It's fine. In fact, I'll feel a tiny bit more current in the Longbridge swim than I do swimming in Dover Bay. You do feel, I think it's more a change in temperature when you go across the part where the boats come through most often, under the bridge there.
Yeah, okay.
And you do feel it a little bit different there. Huh. And I'd like to point out that the boat traffic is stopped for that period of time.
Good point.
Just pointing that out to you. Okay. And that is the reason why, even though our swim is relatively untimed in that you can start whenever you cross the mat, you do have to finish in a particular amount of time because they want to reopen that opening again so that the public can finish their boating activities.
I think we'd be remiss if we did not, since we're here with Sandy Ross talking about the Longbridge Swim, without mentioning the names Eric Ridgway and Jim Zuberbühler. Would you like to say a few things about them?
Well, Eric Ridgway, to have the vision to do this and the energy to do so, to keep it going for so many years, what a fabulous thing! And I used to see Eric off and on at some other swims around, and we would always just have a secret smile together because we knew the good one was coming up. Although the local swims that are around here, there's one in Coeur d'Alene and there's one in Montana, are lovely. There's nothing like the Longbridge swim. And then kudos to him for being able to turn it over to a board. And Mr. Z is so dedicated and such a guy that sees the big picture and wants the swim to be a great influence on our on our community.
It is.
Yeah, it's really a lovely charity and a lovely thing to do, and it makes it even more fun when you're on that last little bit. You know, you swim the Longbridge swim, and there's those pilings that have numbers on them. You know, everybody sees them when you come into town. Mm-hmm. Well, on August 6th, they'll take on some pretty special significance.
Big stature.
Because when you can see the pilings and count down the pilings, you know, that's when you know you're getting done. And the pilings always add a little bit of extra go to your stroke. But the other extra go is knowing that part of your entry fees are going to such a worthy cause.
You may have mentioned this, Sandy, but when did you start participating in the Longbridge swim?
I can't remember.
Okay.
It's been a long time. I did miss a few. I wish I would have started the very first time.
You weren't there on
the
first one.
No, I wasn't. Mm-hmm. But I swam when I did at one time. When Starla Staglund was taking applications, when she was the one that put your name in the spreadsheet, I was the first registrant for 1 year.
Ooh.
Yeah, so cool. That was exciting. She let me have that honor. So.
Does that mean your swim cap is number one?
No, I don't know how the numbers go, man.
Oh, man.
You get hundreds and thousands, but yeah.
Okay. Sandy, I just want to say thank you for your support and your enthusiasm and your just positive energy about the swim and teaching other people how to swim. I know here at 88.5 KRFY, Jack and I just hold people like you in awe for making this community a better community by your presence.
Thank you. But I really have to turn it over to Water Magic. You just add water. Okay. That's all I can say.
Anything in closing you'd like to say?
Just thank you to the community. Over 500 people in a short amount of time is some pressure on our community. There's lots of us that are going to be out looking for a big carbohydrate breakfast or what to do next or some, you know, there'll be some extra traffic issues and all that. So a big thank you to the community for putting up with us for another successful year.
Well, they say when an actor takes the stage, break a leg, what do they say to a swimmer who's about to get in the water?
Good luck, mostly, but
watch out for the sharks.
And then I can tell you the universal swimmer joke.
Yeah, please
we don't,
do.
We don't recognize each other with our clothes on. Because we're always in swimsuits. Yeah. So.
I didn't recognize
that's a dad joke.
Okay.
Sorry.
Very good.
Sandy, stay cool and hydrated and have a good day.
Thank you. I will.
Thanks for stopping by. We're gonna
I forgot to just so it's August 6th is
yes,
the day, but
August
you have to
6th.
Register in advance.
The day at least the day before.
Swimmers meet down at the high school.
There's packet pickup the night before, which is very handy.
Yeah. You meet at the high school at what time? I don't know.
I don't know. Swimmers always get started early.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, if you're not interested in swimming, you just want to watch, what time should you go down to the bridge?
I think we hit the water at 8.
Okay.
And it's make sure you're parking on the city side of the bridge. Don't try to park on the south side of the bridge because
there's
nothing.
Yep. Okay, that's the last thing I wanted to ask about. I'm sorry to break the flow there. What were we saying? We were talking about music, right?
We're talking about music, and we're heading into Crazy Days on Saturday, and KRFY is having music sales, CDs, along with some books, a few books, DVDs, and KRFY T-shirts. But here is a singer who's associated and built a whole career around water, and it's on a CD that's going to be available on Saturday. We'll talk more about it. Here's Jimmy Buffett, a song called Bring Back the Magic from his Hot Water CD from 1988. Bring Back the Magic, Jimmy Buffett from his CD Hot Water, which will be one of many CDs on sale during the KRFY Crazy Days Sidewalk Sale, 7:30 to 3 p.m. And come early because all CDs will be $1. And you know, Jack, I haven't decided if it's a double CD, do I charge $2? I mean, we've got like Bob Dylan's 30th anniversary celebration with Neil Young and all sorts of other artists, or David Bowie's singles, a couple double CDs.
I think $1.50.
$1.50. Okay.
I don't know. I'm looking at. Sorry, we were talking off the air about why that song is so familiar.
And
I don't know. I come up with nothing, but I do learn that the album came out in 1988, and it is the first one featuring Jimmy Buffett without his trademark mustache. This is when he shaved the mustache off.
Oh, that's right. I'm looking at the cover. I'm at the cover of the CD.
So this is a dividing line in the career of Jimmy Buffett. I don't know that he's worn a mustache since then. Actually, he's gone barefaced.
He's gone manscaped.
Yes.
We have, you know, like there's a lot of attention recently to Joni Mitchell appearing at the Newport Folk Festival. I think we have six different CDs by her that have been donated. There is just a lot of great music, world music and pop music, women artists, soundtracks, new age, classical, all for $1. So this is a great way to, if you have a second locale, like your car or a vacation rental or a second home, to have CDs there, you know, that you can build up your collection. And all the money goes to keeping 88.5 KRFY on the air.
Well, that is something worth mentioning because, yeah, that if you're thinking I don't really need CDs, you should at least come down and support the station and take a look at what there is.
And we've got some books.
I gotta say, also, like people think, well, I have my phone now, I don't need CDs. But there is I have always found there's gonna be a time when the phone is dead, you don't have reception, something like that, and you know, it's nice to have a CD, a little CD collection where you can put on a little music. Yeah,
you can turn to it during those dark nights of the soul. I had an eye opener about a couple months ago. I was talking to a young person here in town. Now, at my age, it doesn't take much to be young, and I was talking to her, and I mentioned Yola. you know, that, oh, the second CD from Yola, you know, yada, mm-hmm. yada, yada. And she said, oh, yeah, she's on my Spotify.
Yeah.
And but only one song. She said, I'm going to have to, you know, to have the complete. So maybe we're raising a generation of single song listeners.
It's yeah, it's like we're back in the, what, 50s was probably the last time that the single was as dominant
as it is now.
Yeah.
And whereas I transferred into the 60s, you know, buying albums mm-hmm. and studying their artwork and the progression of the music on side one and then flip it over to side two.
I still prefer an album and an album artists to singles generally.
I just don't have a feel for singles.
Jim, I have a question that's not really appropriate for the radio audience.
Okay.
If we were on TV, it would be right.
Okay.
Your shirt.
What does it say?
It's a picture of Superman.
Yeah.
But also, he's superimposed on a red skull, and there seems to be sort of a yellow tie-dye effect throughout the rest of the shirt. Is there any significance here? What does this mean?
I'd have to look back in my Superman comic books to see when the Red Skull comes in, and that would give me a date on this T-shirt.
Okay.
I do not anything comes registered offhand.
Okay.
I'm all for Superman.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but the Red Skull, maybe if you Google that.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a blue Superman, it's a Red Skull, and it's kind of a tie-dye effect on the T-shirt as a whole, I would say.
And I don't even remember where I got this from.
Huh.
But I do want to say a big shout-out thank you to Velma, Queen of Fun. Last night, she played music from all CDs that are up for sale, from Joni Mitchell to Indigo Girls to Ray Charles to Stevie Wonder to Bonnie Raitt, singles from songs from CDs. And tonight on the KRFY Folk Show at 9 o'clock with yours truly, I'm going to be playing songs and music from CDs that will be up on sale. I've got some Tom Rush, Peter, Paul and Mary, Bob Dylan, I think a John Prine, and I forget who else I've put into the play rotation.
Worth mentioning again that Velma Queen of Fun is here in town and live on the radio.
Yeah. Absolutely. Not in LJ, Georgia.
No, she's live on the radio. You can hear her at 6 o'clock on Wednesday nights right here on 88.5 KRFY.
Where she belongs,
yes.
By the way.
The Hump Day Cafe. And it's a party. It's some of the best music that we play. And it's nice to have her.
I agree.
In the studio. You know what I'm doing after this show, Jim?
Swimming.
Yeah, maybe I can squeeze that in, actually. But no, the KRFY is going to be at the... we're going to have a little booth out at the... what's it called? The volunteer fair, which is going out at... the old Coldwater Creek headquarters, but it's the... it's some kind of event center. I'll pull that up in just a minute and give you the details. But come out to the old Coldwater Creek at 10 o'clock, where a whole bunch of local organizations, including this radio station, are going to be looking for volunteers. Especially if you're new in town and you kind of want to meet some people and get involved and insert yourself into our community, this is the way to do it. It's a volunteer town, as we've discussed many times.
As Sandy was saying about giving back to the community, that's what the Long Bridge Swim does, and through people like Sandy. And by volunteering, there are so many organizations, 501c3s, and other organizations like the food bank, needing the support of volunteers, because without volunteers, they couldn't be doing what they're doing.
It's the Power Up Expo is what it is, by the way. At the CREC, the Community Resource Envision Center, which is out on McGee Road. Yes.
And I do want to say that if you volunteer for a 501c3 and you think that your volunteerism does not have value, I think I read an article that in 2020, the hour of volunteer service is worth $28 per hour to the organization you're volunteering for.
That sounds right for us, if not an understatement.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. That your volunteerism goes a long way towards the organization that you're serving as well as its clientele.
Should we, we're almost out of time here. Should we talk about a couple other events
coming
up in town?
Sure, we can talk about the festival at Sandpoint.
It is ongoing right now, yeah.
The Revivalists.
With Ryan Montbleu Band is the opener. Gates open at 6 p.m. Music at 7:30 tonight. And I don't think that, I know some of them are sold out, the Beach Boys for sure, but I think the Revivalists might not be. You'd have to go to festival@sandpoint.com for more information and find out if they are or not.
I just got a text from my sister in Arlington, Virginia, and she says third grade is about age 8.
That's good information.
I somewhat vaguely remember that if you take the number 5 and just add whatever grade, like 6th grade, 5, you're 11.
Okay.
8th grade, you're 13. That you take 5 plus whatever number grade. Thank you, Marie, in, I was going to say hot and sweltering Arlington, Virginia, Washington, D.C., but it's sort of cool.
Did they get past it?
I think they got through it. Yeah. I do want to say that once you stop by the KRFY table, you can always slip over to the Play It Again Panada music vinyl. We don't have vinyl here, but they have vinyl. They have CDs, and you just cross the street and go down to the Panada Theater and support that fine organization as well on Saturday. Crazy days.
Crazy days. Yeah. Are the streets pretty much lined for Crazy Days? Does everybody put something out, do you think?
First
Avenue?
I think on First Avenue, you know, I get sort of locked in at the table.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't get to venture out and about. I wonder what real estate offices do. Do they put out like a parcel of land?
Yeah, I suppose so. buy this chunk of sidewalk. It's Timber Days out in Priest River, hosted by the Priest River Chamber of Commerce. Priest River Timber Days is this weekend, the 29th and 30th. A cornhole tournament at the museum and a Hot Neon Nights car parade on
Friday. Are you a
Friday.
Cornholer?
Yeah. We always called it the beanbag game when I was growing up at this.
Where did corn come in?
Cornhole has swept the nation under that
next
name.
Next to pickleball.
Yeah. on Saturday, July 30th, 8 a.m., there's a Run for the Berries. 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. is the Show and Shine Car Show at Priest River Junior High, and at 10 a.m. Run for the Berries Awards at the gazebo in the park. Craft and food vendors at Bonner West Park. There's a parade at 11. Logging competitions at Bonner Park West at noon. Lawnmower races at 4 o'clock in the evening. And you can go to the Priest River Museum. They'll be open that day as well. So it sounds... Sounds kind of fun out in Priest River.
A busy weekend.
Yeah. We're out of time. We're over.
Always good to be with you, Jack. Thank
Likewise,
you so much.
Jim.
And I want to, again, thank the folks at Longbridge Swim and Sandy Ross for coming in. Boy, too bad that we were not a visual medium just to see the joy on Sandy's face and the enthusiasm and the excitement and the love, not only for the community, but for the water.
Yeah. Stay tuned for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here.
And tonight at 9 o'clock, KRFY Folks Show with me, Jim Healy, and I'm going to be playing songs from CDs that will be on sale on Saturday.
Here's Bird Note. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.